Hello, and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 156, properly this time. I said it was 156 last week, it wasn't, it was actually 155.
Oh dear.
I got it wrong. With me this week is Keith Andrew.
Hello.
And Peter Willington.
Hello.
Hello, Peter, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you? How are you both?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Enthusiastic. Excellent. Excellent.
It's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's not actually Christmas, because we record on the Thursday, but when this goes out, it still won't be Christmas. But when you listen to it, maybe it'll be Christmas Day. So we should all pretend we're excited.
I think it already is for everyone else, because every email I've had today is saying, oh, you're probably not working now, but here's some news for you. I thought, I am still working, you bastards.
Yeah. Mm. I've had that. It's annoying. Anyway, Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to the Christmas special edition. Peter is our new handheld editor on the site. And he is, if you know your gaming podcasts, then you should know Peter. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, you may have heard me crop up on a few different shows, making them awful. So I do apologise in advance to anyone listening. This will be the worst show ever.
It's our job.
Come on. Stop.
Treading on toes already.
And your own role.
Yeah, we're the crap ones. It is sort of Christmas. So as you probably heard from the sleigh bells at the start, but despite that, we're going to do pretty much a normal podcast. So sorry about that. Let's go straight on to the news.
News!
Right, first up on the news, I guess the big one for the news this week is literally sales. Every year, sales. Oh well, it is it again. if you haven't already seen, we've got a post up on the website, you could search for it, Christmas iPhone and iPad Games Sales Roundup. But it's normally going to be one of the top stories on the site. There you can see every game that's listed. Normally what happens during a sales, one of these sort of sales, is we sort of say like one or two games that are really good at the price. We're not going to do that this year.
No, I wonder why.
Yeah, because last year, Gameloft, EA and then Gameloft, they all did their sales, and that was quite fun. And then some of the other publishers joined in, and it was all very civil. This year, pretty much everyone's put their games on sale. Pretty much every game as well. So if we... we've been stressing out as we sort of naively thought, I will follow every single sale that comes announced. Yeah,
doesn't it nullify if you're one of these chaps who've dropped your price now? Aren't you kind of, you know, all of them? You're kind of nullifying each other.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, you could have just had one link on there, which was just the iTunes store, just all of it. You know, but there's some good games in there. Like, there's some superb titles that, I'll be picking up, definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, today we heard that Real Racing 2 was down to 69p. That's on both iPhone and iPad. That was one of our games of the year last year. And then, all of EA's stuff is 69p, and most of the Game Loft stuff has been reduced, which... some of them are good. There's just think of a game, it's reduced.
Isn't it weird though? It's like a supermarket, this kind of sale, because you think, if I'm after a console game and I go into a shop and it's only dropped £5, I think, well, I'll wait until it's dropped 10 or 15. You think, well, 5 isn't enough. Whereas you can get games here that, you know, were cheap anyway. And now they're just a little bit cheaper, and now suddenly everyone will buy them. I can only think, games when they get to about £5, sometimes I'm resistant to picking them up. I can't ever remember going on the App Store and thinking, oh God, that's £1.49. I'm not gonna buy that. I'll wait until it's 69p or something. You think it's £1.49.
People pirate 69p games though as well. So
weird, isn't it? But it's like, that's what I mean. It's like supermarket when people wait until tins of beans are 10p and then they buy them. You think
nothing wrong with that.
They're only 69p anyway, you know. It's like,
yeah, but it's like 40% saving.
It's weird. I think people just are programmed to think, sale, I must buy. It's kind of, you know, nothing is particularly expensive on the App Store, really. Nothing is going to break the bank if you give it a go. I say wait until January and then pay more. That's what I say.
I say get a family member to buy you some iTunes credit, like, because they only come in like 15, 20 quid bundles or whatever it is, and like you could get like
buy everything,
or like 1,000 games. You could get so much with that.
Although you wouldn't be able to fit them all on the hard drive.
No,
unless you're a fancy man and have like a 64 gig iPad 2 or something.
But then at that point, are you really waiting for sales?
Exactly.
Well, you know what? With my fancy 64 gig iPad 2.
Yeah, right. Yeah, are you wearing a money suit right now? Is that?
I'm not wearing anything.
Just
fair enough. Yeah, it's Christmas. Why not? Eh?
Why not? Go crazy.
But nothing's new there.
Yeah, I don't normally wear anything to record the podcast. I'll tell you what though. Anomaly's Warzone Earth, 69p. Get that. Well, 99. If we say 69p, it's 99 cents for our American listeners.
Was it before?
£1.50. Oh, yeah, but I'm not saying that because it's on sale. I'm just saying that because I gave it a 10.
Oh, I know you. Yeah, I know. I know what angle you're working there, Will.
I know. But I mean, in this list, I mean, we've put a lot of free stuff in there as well, and like. I'm genuinely surprised at some of the stuff that's free in there as well. I mean, Broken Sword 2.
Broken Sword, the original.
Yeah. Like, both of those are free. Like, that's insane because those two games will last you hours and hours and hours and are some of the best work that Charles Sessler's put out. And now you can get them for nothing. Like, that's kind of incredible.
And, of course, the incredibly annoyingly addictive Jetpack Joyride is free.
Yeah.
Again, I thought that was like 69p. You should have already bought that, to be fair. But if you haven't, then... And I dig it. Surprisingly annoyingly addictive game is also free. Oh, it's just... Look at all this. Look, Hard Lines is free. What else we got here? Oh, geez. Now I'm starting to go through the list. Groove Coaster, 69p. That's good. All the Back to the Futures and all that, they're $1.99. Now, yeah. I see that just makes it look expensive now. That's not good. What else we got here? There's loads of games. Just go on the list. Just scroll down, buy every game. It links straight to the App Store, just buy them. There you go. So there we go. Christmas sales this year is mental. Who do you think is going to be number one, though?
Christ.
I want to check who's number one at the moment, actually.
Who could say? Probably some random Chinese app that suddenly randomly appeared. Yeah.
No, that links onto the next story. Damn it. No, I haven't even said what's number one at the moment. Oh, it's Grand Theft Auto 3.
Well, that could well stay there. You just don't know, do you?
FIFA 12 is second. Sonic the Hedgehog, the original, is third.
That's one of them ones, I suppose, everyone thinks, oh, I wonder if that's on there. And then they buy it.
And then they're disappointed. Yeah.
Actually, Grand Theft Auto 3 has been reduced as well. Oh, no, that's one we haven't added to the list yet.
Oh, dear.
It's $1.99 now, down from $2.99. Yes, so there we go. So as Keith said, though, maybe there's going to be a dark horse in the charts this Christmas because Chinese language game.
You going to say it?
I don't know what it means.
No, I didn't even write it.
It's just Chinese symbols. There's no English thing. No. Anyway, it's a freemium game. It's based on the Three Kingdoms. Oh, John's actually translated it as literally Three Kingdoms.
Oh.
All right, never mind.
I didn't know that.
Yes, but that shot up the charts earlier this week. Shot up the top grossing because it's a freemium game. Is it still in the top grossing? No.
Is it? Oh, is it gone?
It's gone.
That's a story in itself.
Yeah, interesting. This game appeared out of nowhere on the English App Store and also a couple of the other European App Stores. Shot up the charts, and which tipped off, who is it? Will Luton from Mobile, yes. Actually.
The friend of the podcast, Will Luton.
Podcast?
Certainly is.
Rang me randomly to tell me, had I seen this random Chinese game that has even its description in the App Store is in Chinese, so you have no idea what it is apart from the pictures. So it was randomly, was it number 3, number 4?
Yeah, three or four.
Top grossing. So and all of the views, of which there weren't very many user reviews from us. I think there's four user reviews, three of which were saying that these people, it had randomly appeared on their devices. They hadn't knowingly purchased it, or downloaded it rather, and then they'd been charged various amounts, one of which is $69.99 for in-app purchases, which sparked the debate as to whether this was some kind of fraud or hack, App Store hack or fraud, as to people being charged for a game they've not bought. So, I mean, I don't think anyone ever heard, did they, from the Chinese studio? So.
No, I mean, that $69.99 is like one of the most popular purchases in the app, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's the number one.
Yeah,
that's which always is a bit of a
that's shady. That is super shady.
If you compare that to my horse, or as I like to call it, my lovely horse, the number one in-app purchase on that is 69p, as you might expect.
Well, I mean, what's strange is John was doing a bit of research when this was all breaking yesterday, and they seem a perfectly legitimate company. I mean, this app has been top across Asia, basically. It's been huge in obviously China and some other territories nearby, and so, but it just, you know, it obviously flags up as a bit strange if a game which doesn't even have an English translation is suddenly jumping into the top five of the App Store in the UK out of nowhere. And as the fact it's complete, I mean, it's just scrolling through now, it's not anywhere now, is it? It's completely disappeared.
I think they removed it, yeah.
So
I mean, is it possible that this is, because obviously it is all in you know, a foreign language, and all the comments that have been sort of criticizing it have been in English, and I'm going to make the assumption that those people don't speak, you know, Chinese. I mean, is it possible that those are people making purchases by mistake, like we saw with the Capcom Smurfs title?
I can't imagine how they would have, because the game isn't even, how would you even search for that in the App Store? I'm not sure how you would ever come across that app unless you did speak Chinese, because the name is you know, all Chinese characters. So I can't imagine anyone would have downloaded that by accident and then accidentally downloaded the in-app purchase as well, because you would never, you know, I would never know how to find that app again if I needed to on the App Store itself, because it's, you know, it's nothing's in English. So it's
yeah, quite... I mean, yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, it depends on how the kind of search thing works, because I was looking for iMAME yesterday. And I nearly accidentally downloaded the I Love Megan Fox app, which has nothing to do with
yeah,
it.
No, yeah, no, that happened to me earlier when I was looking for iMAME.
yeah, completely by accident.
Yeah, no.
I think the difference is people who complain about Smurf Village admittedly had they downloaded the app on purpose. You know, they had got it. It was the in-app purchase they were worried about. I think this is kind of out of the blue. It's just been appearing on people's handsets, which, you know, with the iTunes how it's now set up, is possible. If someone has your password, and I mean, and I suppose that's the big question, how did they get your password? But if someone has their password, you know, you can buy things on people's behalf on your iTunes, and then it will just appear if they've got iCloud set up on their device without prompting them or telling them. It'll just be there. So I suppose that's the worry, in that if someone has somehow, I don't know, done a sweep of email addresses or something and managed to get hold of people's passwords for their iTunes, you know, they could buy anything they wanted and it would just pop up on your device. It's, but yeah, I'm not sure.
It's, I mean, like Minority Report.
Yeah,
it's sort of like that. It sort of feels a little bit like a bad economy Santa, just sort of buying stuff for other people but using their money.
Ho ho ho, here's virtual currency. use your card, by the way, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's gone now, so hopefully that means Apple read our story. They do read our stories occasionally, as we all know from the Smurfs Village thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because we broke that news, and then all of a sudden, things changed. Talking of things changing, Remedy. Of course, they're the developer behind Max Payne. Max Payne 2, Alan Wake, which is surprisingly good fun. Got quite middling reviews. I quite like Alan Wake.
I love Alan Wake.
Me too.
You love Alan Wake. You both love Alan Wake.
I absolutely adore Alan Wake. It's one of my favourite games of all time.
Really?
Yep, really. Love it.
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah, but it's a good game. Good. Yeah.
Anyway, they released Death Rally this year on the iPhone, which they've recently updated with multiplayer, in fact. That was about a month ago, in fact. They have said in an interview that they are working on something new on the iPhone, which is positive news. Of course, Max Payne has been, has it been confirmed? It's been confirmed it's coming over to iOS, hasn't it? Yes, so the mobile version of Max Payne is coming. I did some research while I was... I guess this is a completely different game.
Maybe.
The head of franchise said that... maybe it is just Max Payne.
Can you say that name?
Oh, what? The name of the head of the franchise development for Remedy?
Yes.
Ah, just... my eyes. Sorry, I've just got some pain in my head. I think it's a migraine. Could you read that out for me, Keith?
I reckon. Hang on. Yeah, that's not too difficult. If you
what's
tell me
Hakkinen.
Yeah. What a with a thing on top. Oh, no.
Hakkinen.
Hakkinen.
You'd be Hakkinen. Yeah.
Oskari Hakkinen, isn't it? That's easy. Hakkinen.
Okay. Fair enough.
What's your problem?
Yeah. What is your problem? So they've got a new game coming out. That should be interesting. I wonder if it is just Max Payne or if it's actually
It's Elaine Wake, based on his sister. That's what I'm going to say.
I'd probably play that.
Got a sister called Elaine.
Yeah, Elaine Wake. she's an artist. She does illustrations for children's books.
That might work. That could work. It's got a sinister side.
Recently found herself drawing more and more frightening images.
Yeah, I'd play that.
And then she finds herself inside the images.
Yeah, we see. Yeah, you're right. It writes itself, really, doesn't it?
So there we go.
That's an exclusive there, right? If that happens, then you know, then clearly they listen to our.
I'll take them to court. Much like Apple has done against HTC. Look at that.
Oh, my wordly word.
Yes, Apple has won.
Not again.
Won a sort of. No, I wouldn't call it. Yeah, but it was they won a victory in the court. Well, with the. Who is it exactly? It's the United States International Trade Commission over certain patents that HTC was apparently infringing on. They managed to get one of the patents through. And that's enough for the commission to order all sales of HTC handsets running Android 1.6 to 2.2 to stop next year, unless they remove the feature, which they can do quite easily. And apparently, they're doing it already. Do you want to know what this feature is?
Go on then.
Because it is quite literally the ability to tap on like a message, like a number on a message, and bring up the dialer or Safari or Maps.
Well, how will they replace that? That's quite,
by removing it.
Yeah, but if you remove it, then you kind of, people would say, when they get a phone unaware that HTC have lost this battle, they'd say, well, why doesn't it do that? That seems
exactly. It's actually quite a useful function.
Yeah,
I've seen Android sites misreport this.
Yeah.
They seem to think that it was about multitasking, but it's not. It's very specific, and this feature has been part of the iPhone since the original. It's not a new thing. You don't actually multitask to different apps.
No. Phone does that as well, though.
Windows Phone does do that.
Mm-hmm. You wonder what will happen there.
Well, I mean, this all seems a lot like, Steve's legacy of I'm going to bury Android. Because with patents and so forth, like, I'm not a huge business brain kind of guy, but I'm under the impression that patents are worth a lot of money, and often if companies want to use a specific idea that another company's come up with, they'll just buy the patent. And it's kind of telling that Apple's just gone, nope, we've won, like, you can't use it anymore, remove it or take it off the shelves because this is illegal. Is this not just Apple being like far too harsh?
No, to be honest, this happens all the time. I mean, these Apple have lost cases like this, and Apple have won cases like this. To be honest, when you read that, I mean, what version of Android is 2.2? You think, to be honest, they'll not be selling those next year anyway, won't they?
No,
so it's a pointless win. It's just because, I mean, it was HTC that I think in when you read Jobs' autobiography, it was who he's most annoyed with, actually. That seemed to be the straw that broke the camel's back.
They came out of nowhere, though, really, didn't they? Because, I mean, 4 years ago, if anyone had said HTC, you would have gone, eh?
Yeah,
HTC, kind of really?
Sliding that back that way now, to be honest. I mean, these cases, these tiny little patents, all the companies win and lose these cases, and it means nothing in the end. They either settle and pay them a licensing fee, of which all of the Android manufacturers pay Microsoft a licensing fee for every single phone they make, which is just ridiculous. But it's
just limited to HTC, actually.
No, it's not. It's
really,
Samsung signed a proper partnership, so in view of paying less, I think, so that they don't have to pay quite as much. But I think pretty much all of the Android ones have now settled in some way with Microsoft or another, which means Microsoft makes more money from Android than it does from Windows Phone, because just all bloody patents. I mean, this is why companies buy other companies, so they can get all of their patent libraries, and then they can eke money out of their rivals in this way to ensure that even when they're not selling their own devices, they're still making money. It's a bit crazy.
So what is this on a larger sense? Is this just, I mean, is this even as big as a shot across the bow, or is it just something that's kind of a legacy?
If it only extends to Android 2.2, then this means pretty much nothing. The problem is, I think, is if then they can then say, as we just kind of said, like, Windows Phone users as well, or you know, it's gone forever and ever.
Set a precedent for future cases, kind of thing. But anyway, so yes, poor old HTC, eh?
they are in a bit of a they're in a bit of trouble at the moment. They're kind of, as I say, kind of sliding. If you look at their share and the market, they kind of peaked in the middle of the year, and now they're kind of dropping back off again as Samsung gets bigger and bigger. Might well in 4 years' time, we might well be saying who again.
Oh. Well, to be fair, I've used some of HTC's phones, and if people complain about the iPhone 4S battery, I got to introduce you to the G1. Not a day. Not even half a day. Try running anything? Yeah, you're going to be waiting a while. Anyway, enough about my hatred for the T-Mobile G1, aka the HTC Dream in the US. That's a sad story, but let's go on to a better story. Let's go on to a more entertaining story.
Is that sad?
I don't know. I just needed some sort of link. yes, EnviroBear creator Justin Smith has released his latest game. And it's called Realistic Summer Sports Simulator.
This page won't load for me. Oh, here it comes.
The trailer.
You have to see the trailer.
Is utterly, utterly superb.
It's superb. It is brilliant. So, Realistic Summer Sports Simulator, which the trailer had me in hysterics when I saw it. And I think Keith is now watching it. It's the most inept looking thing ever. Brilliant.
Have you played any of this indie developer called Cactus? Have you ever played any of his games?
No. What games are they, though?
They're like PC. They're very, very small PC titles. Often he does a lot of work in Flash. This guy called Cactus. this. Oh, my wordy word. My word. Keith's loving it.
I'm watching it through again. It's hilarious. Sorry.
It's the running and the boating one.
this title seems a lot like Cactus's output, which is that kind of zany, very not even 8-bit pixel, very stylized, almost sort of rebellious kind of design. And it just absolutely looks fantastic. I need to get this. This is just, you know, as soon as this podcast's off.
I'm going to tweet it right now, just so that everyone watches. the video is superb. It's just such a bad... we haven't explained what it is. It looks like an Atari game where you drag... Well, I was about to say characters, but that's not quite true. You take part in Olympic sports such as rowing, running, swimming, and you sort of drag and then let go, and then the person basically just flies off in the most inept fashion.
They look like they're on elastic, don't they?
Yeah, and the boat one's brilliant, just because you have the row on top of the boat. Remember, this is Atari sort of graphics, so it's just a sort of stick man, coloured stick man. And then you drag the boat, not the person. So the person just falls off the boat and the boat flies forward.
I've just purchased it right now, actually, on the straight.
It all looks like a pastiche of, and this is going to be a deep cut. It all looks like a pastiche of Activision's boxing on 2600, if you remember that. Like that top-down boxing title. Like it all kind of seems like a... isn't this ridiculous? Let's try and make a super retro, you know, sports title, I suppose, but with no fit, like really insane physics. It looks superb.
All right, well, enough about realism. Let's get back to the fantasy world of games when we go into this week's new releases roundabout. This week we're Mad Dogs, we're Dinosaurs, we're Law and Order, and we're Dungeon Hunter 3.
It doesn't mean anything.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's good.
See, I know you've been on lots of podcasts, Peter, but come on, you just witnessed something there.
I'm absolutely just, I'm always astounded by them, if I'm perfectly frank. Just by the quality that comes out of those introductions. It sounds like you've had radio training.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly. I know. I've been told that by so many people. It's just like, I don't know. It's the talent, I think. I think it's just the talent. I just can find the how to make the... Anyway, of course not. That was rubbish. But
Will has a big fan base with the deaf, I think. That's where
he's at. Oh, cutting. That's just insulting.
Fans are fans, yeah.
That's true, actually. So we're on the roundabout. We're looking out for the bus of games. And here it comes. Ooh, it's a festive bus. It's red. No, wait. So, yes, here we are. On iPhone this week, first up, Mega Man X. I've heard bad things about this.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
It looks... awful. I don't know whether or not it's some sort of weird artifacting or just the way that the video's been captured, but there seem to be less frames of animation for Mega Man in this new version than there were on the Super Nintendo, and that's not a good thing, is it? You know, they've kind of done some weird things to the visuals, like they've HDified them by rounding out everything, which I think that there's something to be said about being able to count the pixels on screen with Mega Man games. That's what gave it its iconic look. I suppose it depends how much you want to play a touchscreen virtual joystick based platformer that places precision of movement over anything else.
I was about to say it has kind of a, because I haven't played any Mega Man games because they just don't appeal to me. But what I do know about them is that they're incredibly hard and require incredibly precise controls. So the very fact that it's on the iPhone, no offense to touchscreen because I love the touchscreen, but
I've played a few of the Mega Man games, and like you say, like it's no offense to touchscreen. It's just that at the moment, but very few companies get touchscreen, you know, virtual joysticks right. And Mega Man is one of those games where, you know, some of the platforming sections in which, you know, if you fall off, you are dead and you need to restart an entire area because it's a punishing title. Some of those jumps are, you have about 2 or 3 pixels worth of leeway. Otherwise you've missed the jump. And it just seems like a title that kind of didn't really need to be on iOS.
Also,
you know,
it's got,
I mean,
in-app purchases.
For what?
I don't know. I've heard it's got in-app purchases.
Right. Good.
That's,
no, good.
That's, yeah. That's sheer anger. Yeah, it does. Complete set and arranged BMGs.
Oh, good, great, no, brilliant, yeah, bring it on. That's what Mega Man needed, didn't it?
Complete set is £2.49, and you know what the music is?
£1.99.
Oh, that's a bargain.
£1.99.
Yeah, for the BGMs.
Oh my word, that's such stunning value.
And also, of course, you've got to pay money for Mega Man X. $2.99. Yeah, that's like... That's actually quite expensive in today's environment with the Christmas sales.
Especially if you shove some in-app purchases in there. That's,
So, yes, I think the general consensus on Mega Man X, even though I don't think any of us actually played this version, is it's not going to work. Curio. Is next up. What is this?
Oh, you're kind of gay, Will. Is it woman hanging? Is that a woman or a man hanging from a chain?
No. Although if it were a woman, you would be exactly correct. Curio. It's a sort of weird. It's a curious game.
I can't actually make out what's happening in that picture.
Well, it looks like an endless runner.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that man doing with the big pink thing on his head?
No, that's that pink and green thing is a pill. Basically, you have to avoid taking medication.
Yeah.
It looks a little bit. A little bit, and I like the way that we're all sort of playing. What does the what does the game look like? It looks a little bit like Another World or one of those sort of titles.
Well, I'm going for Runner because right. The final screenshot says your score and best IM run.
Foisted.
Gotcha.
Runner, where you have to avoid taking drugs. That's quite a good message for the Olympics, really, isn't it?
That is.
You should have saved that, man. You should have saved that for next year, and then it would have been really, really current and fresh.
Listen up, GBT.
My drugs.
Yeah.
Anyway, Area 51 Defense. It's a tower defense title. Mm. It's quite nice graphics, actually, from AMT Games. It's on sale already, 69p. You see, this is how you do it. If everyone else is having a sale, have a sale. Mm-hmm. The only review up there is saying it's Epic War TD with a new name. I haven't played Epic War TD. There's 51 missions, 17 maps. I don't like tower defense.
I love tower defense, but that looks particularly generic to me. I wouldn't play that.
Well, yeah. Oh, I can tell you what I do love.
Yes. Yes.
Really bad CDI light gun games.
And oh my word.
Mad Dog McCree by Digital Leisure. £2.99 for some of the worst acting you're ever going to see.
Bargain. Absolute bargain. I'm going to put it out there and say that Mad Dog McCree is the best worst game ever made.
It is a pretty fine bad game.
Yeah.
I got really near the end of it. It's the one of the most unfair like games we're going to play as well. You know the inn bit?
Yeah.
You walk into the saloon and you have to shoot like six people. But you have to do it exactly at the right time and exactly at the right spot. It took me about 2 hours. After that, it's fairly easy. There's one pretty tough bit which I got stuck on where you go to the corral. And then, but other than that, sorry, saloon.
the thing about Mad Dog McCree, though, is that even though it is kind of cheesy, I mean, well, and I say kind of, I mean, really. It's quite dark. Like it's kind of like a really, you know, like the schlocky horror movies of the 70s, like that just had like no budget, but were really like, but the ideas behind them were really, really sort of bleak and just things that you didn't really want to think about. Mad Dog McCree's kind of like that. Like it's full of like, it's like when you die, like that you meet like the Undertaker and he takes you out and it's really grim. Like it straddles this weird line between hilarious cheese and like this quite bleak Western themed video shooter-thon.
Well, yeah. What I can remember from it is just absolutely dog awful, mad dog awful acting. It's probably not going to be very good on the touch screen, I'd say.
So isn't it a bit of a curse rifle in this? Looking at the formats it did appear on, all of them kind of died a death.
What, you mean the 3DO, CDI, and Sega CD?
Yeah, those three.
Yeah. Their quality CD-based consoles.
I have a soft spot for the CDI mainly because of this game.
I always wanted a 3DO just because the name's quite cool.
Check it out. I've got a 3DO.
Have you?
Oh, yes.
Which one?
I've got the Panasonic PZ1.
Well, that's the one I wanted as well. That's the one that was in all the pictures.
Well, check it out. You're not having it. And
I didn't tell you why I wanted it. I just wanted it.
I'm trying to remember the name of that. Like some of the other FMV games we haven't got yet. Because it's we got that anime driving one, but we haven't got the sci-fi flying one yet, have we? Or the one where you go into the body. That was another great CDI FMV game.
And then there was have we got Night Trap yet?
Is it
Night Trap?
That was the big mega CD one, wasn't it? Night Trap, everyone was on about.
Yeah.
It was awful, but everyone was on about it.
And then there was
Night Trap, the one with the ladies.
Yeah, and the strange guys dressed all in black, and you had to control like different parts of the house and stuff. That game was genius. and the other one, which was that one where you played a voyeur. I think it was called Voyeur.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
See, these are mad deep cuts, guys. Come on, like this is my 96 Bay, 1996 rubbish FMV game knowledge coming through.
Oh, yeah. We'll get them all eventually, I think. Especially if Mad Dog does well. The other ones previously have actually done quite well on the App Store. So it needs a light gun though, or it needs a controller at least. I don't know. Tapping the screen as a light gun doesn't feel right for me. But then I never feel comfortable with shooting things unless I've got a huge pistol in my hand.
Going no further with that one.
Yeah, but we will go further with the new games. On iPad this week is Jurassic Park The Game 2 HD. I think it's The Game Episode 2 HD. Maybe it's not. Maybe it is. Quick time. It's almost like a FMV game anyway, but with 3D graphics. And lots of quick time events. Mark wasn't overly keen on the first one. The graphics look nice. I imagine it doesn't run well on the iPad because it's Telltale. And it never runs well on the iPad. Everyone's gone very quiet.
I'm listening.
I'm listening to you.
Listening and learning.
Oh, cheers. $4.99 is the price. Yes, actually, they've put for iPad 2 only now. Or maybe that was on the first one anyway. It's going to be more of the same. It's going to be very short. Quite expensive for the length. And lots of quick time. So there you go. That's my review. 6 out of 10. out this week across both iPhone and iPad, Law and Order Legacies.
Doesn't that look like Fiona Bruce in that picture?
Does look like Fiona.
Fiona Bruce. Yeah. Lovely.
I don't think it is Fiona Bruce.
It's not Fiona Bruce, no.
Play as Fiona Bruce.
It's Olivia Benson.
I don't even know who that is.
It's one of the Dreamcast, Keith.
Yeah, I don't watch Law and Order.
I don't know. No, I've never watched Law and Order.
Because I've got taste. But yeah, let's move on.
However, Telltale has, and it's available now for $1.99.
I bet you they've not watched it either. They won't have a clue what the hell Law and Order is, so just lad it on their desk.
So the first cutscene is just people going, I have no idea what this is about. But I think my character is going to be quite bossy.
That's pretty much like all of the Eastern European Java games I have to play, to be honest, that kind of dialogue.
So, yes, you've got Ray Curtis returns to his old job at the 27th Precinct with a new lead.
Right. I mean, here's my question. Do I get to shout objection at my iPhone?
No.
Then so 6 out of 10.
It looks like a sort of typical Telltale. 6 out of 10. It's 7 episodes.
That's good.
In one app, I think. So first episode comes with the app, which is $1.99. Second episode is $1.99. And they've all marked out the episodes in the future. I wonder if they're going to do this from now on, Telltale. But it looks like the sort of typical. There's a bit of hidden objects. There's a bit of talking. Oh, it doesn't look very interesting. Law and Order, just the very name of it, just makes me think, oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. May as well be called Stacking Shelves.
Yeah. Tesco and Metro. So there we go, Law and Order.
Lauder, as I call it.
Lauder. Dungeon Hunter 3 is the next one up. Game Loft It's free. We've already spoken about this last 2 weeks, actually, because of preview and other stuff. Let's see what people are saying about it, though, now it's out. Oh, five stars.
You're going to do voices like on Points of View? That'd be good.
No, I can't do that because they might be listening. To be fair, I've just seen one of the reviews here is left by HDJHEVEJDHDN, which I don't think is a real name.
I hope not.
It just sounds like someone at Gameloft just hammered the keyboard to make a new user and then wrote, "Loving this game. Well done, Gen Gameloft."
I don't know what you're alleging there, Will, but, you know.
Well, look, there's three reviews and they're all five stars.
Or is it the ready?
Yeah, well.
I'm sure that's a real person.
Very suspicious that it's got all three 5 stars, because I know some people are going to be pissed off with this one. Yeah, I think it's, from my hands on, I think it's quite a shallow freemium game, to be honest. It's better than most of the other freemium games out there, and I'm sure a lot of people who haven't played Dungeon Hunter before will actually really like it. I just think, and everyone who's played Dungeon Hunter 2 or 1 is not going to like it at all.
But I haven't played any of the Dungeon Hunters. Would you recommend, from your preview and from the, you know, from the other Dungeon Hunter titles you played, would you recommend I go and play 3 or start with 1 or 2 or something?
Play 2.
Okay.
The thing is, though, 3's free, so there's no down payment if you want to try 3. But
yeah, but I'm a fancy pants journalist. Well yes, I've got money coming out of my ears.
Basically, so. two and one are their version of Diablo, and they're not as good as Diablo, of course, but they're pretty decent. Dungeon Hunter 3, however, is their version of Gun Brothers, with Dungeon Hunter skins essentially. So you're in a small arena. There's no loot whoring. You know, there's no exploration. Dungeon Hunter 2 had random dungeons. It had a plot, but created random dungeons, and you could play co-op. Don't get that in Dungeon Hunter 3. Anyway, let's move on from that. That's just making me depressed. Lost Winds. That's the next one up. I still haven't played Lost Winds.
I fancy going off on one about this.
I was about to say, this sounds like there's going to be a controversial statement here.
For any listeners that don't know, there's a magazine, an industry-only magazine called Develop, and the person who is spearheads Frontier, which is the company that made Lost Winds, is a man named David Braben. And in one of his columns, he basically criticized the iOS market for, this is paraphrasing him, but he was essentially saying that the iOS market was a race to the bottom, and that it was kind of destroying creativity, and that it was harming sales of bigger games, and whinge. And now the company's released in pretty quick succession two iOS games that are really quite, they're quite expensive in terms of, you know, the iOS market. Lost Winds, I believe, is £2.49.
£2.49.
But they're still cheap, in comparison to like a big, main console Connectimals or something like that. I don't know, like, it's no judgment on the game itself, obviously, but I do find it quite interesting that this has come out now, when it's only been a month or two after, you know, this David chap decided to come out and say what he said, which I find quite, I find that quite distasteful. As somebody like who owns an iPhone and somebody who is interested in that space, it seems a bit strange. It seems a little bit strange to me. So I'm instantly, I'm going to stake my flag in the ground right now and say I will never play this.
Man with principles.
I just find it. I when you were sending the news around and stuff, when I saw this, I just thought this is ridiculous. Like, it's kind of got to this point. Maybe he's had a change of heart. I don't know. Maybe he thinks it's the future now. But very strange. Very strange. That's all a bit industry, isn't it? Really, but.
Well, they all say stuff like that, and then they get involved, and remember, their mind changes.
Developer are more console and focused, man, even if they are trade. Mm. I mean, this is the thing. I'm sure I'm sure David actually didn't really know if they were going to go on to the...
yeah.
But, Lost Winds, though, it's been a while since the WiiWare version. I guess it's another... It's an attempt to pick up a bit more cash from it. It's critically acclaimed, though. I mean, the game.
I mean, it looks beautiful. Looks absolutely gorgeous.
It got a reasonably good mark from Mark, I think, this week. I think I got a 7, yeah.
Mark's Mark.
I think he criticised the fact it no longer pauses to allow you to trace out the controls, whereas it did on the Wii version. And that sounded like a niggle, but enough to give it a 7. But yeah, I don't know. I might try out Lost Winds. You know what I want Frontier to do?
I know exactly. Yeah, go on. There's a number 4.
No. I want them to do Elite 2 on iOS, because unlike everyone else, I just want to play the old game I really like on my iPhone.
yeah. He said he's been working on an Elite game for years and years and years now, and maybe this is a sign that perhaps that type of title could, because there aren't that many space sims on iOS, are there?
It's Galaxy on Fire 2.
Yeah, that's really good.
But there's not really much else to compete against. I mean, there are a couple of others, but the ones I've played are pretty awful.
So, you know, maybe he likes the Apple money now, and maybe we'll see that come out.
I asked Jeff Cramman's son if his dad was going to be bringing any of his games across to iPhone earlier in the year.
What did he say?
He said, I know. It's a bit disappointed.
What kind of noise is that?
Non-committal.
sure he wasn't just farting or something as he spoke?
No, he's actually quite a nice guy, actually. he wouldn't fart.
Nice guys don't fart.
Well, exclusive.
He wouldn't reply with a fart. That's
he might
something
have
you would do.
Him. He just accidentally farted and you took it as an answer. You know?
Yeah, and then he actually did try to answer the question, but I already walked away by that point.
Exactly, you got your answer.
Fart. One day I'll talk about this to the others. Okay, well, fair enough. Lost Winds is out. And finally, we've got to fly through this because I've just seen the recording time. Muse. No, actually, sorry, wrong. Let me say that again. M-U-S-E.
M-U-S-E.
M-U-S-E. This is a game based around the secret undercover activities performed by the band Muse. you'll be shooting hot licks all across the stage, killing terrorists.
Yep.
No, actually, you play as Sid Tripp, that's with double P, as you engage in warfare against masses of quite brain-dead looking AI.
Sorry, what's his name?
Sid Tripp.
Sid Tripp.
It's like they thought they were going to go for one of the crappy, sort of really terrible pun names, and then decided to cop out at the halfway point.
Was Rick Hardman busy or something?
Tripwire.
This looks pretty awful.
Score to settle.
It doesn't look awful because it said console quality graphics.
I know. I saw that, and then it swings around. And you actually see it, and it looks pretty awful. Use adrenaline boost for maximum lethality.
I don't know. It looks kind of silly.
No, it does. It is console quality. I mean, the console's the PS1, but
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so Sid Tripp, it looks a bit like trying to do that score attack from Bulletstorm kind of thing going, but a third person cover based shooter. These don't normally work. Shadowgun works. That's about it really. So it'll be interesting to see how this does. I think it's a Unity game from Labrats, and it is out now. And what is it priced? It is priced at $3.99.
Okay, no confident.
Whoa. Anyway, that's it. That's the new releases. I'm sure there's more actually that we didn't cover. There's been a hell of a lot this week.
New releases.
We're not putting in that song. No matter how many times you ask me. let me just do a quick check. I don't think there is. Well, anyway, yeah, there are probably other games. Check the website.
Other games are available.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, let's go on to what we've been playing.
What have we been playing?
Who wants to start?
start.
Do it.
Oh, this is going to be a tower defense game, isn't it?
I've got two games to talk about this week.
Oh. All right. Okay, fair enough. Go on then.
So this week...
I'll just pop out for a bit.
No, you won't. Well, you will, but yeah. The first game I played this week was Real Football 2012, which is interesting, if only because it's free. Freemium. I think it's pretty awful. I mean, there are two sticks you can beat this with, in that the game itself...
less heavy stick?
No, they're both heavy. Very heavy and long and hot. The match itself, so if you take away the freemium and just say, well, I'm going to look at this as a football game, it's just abysmal. It's the worst on pitch experience I've had on iPhone. It's the kind of thing that they might have got away with had it launched like a week after the App Store launch. You'd think, oh, well, people are just getting used to this. They don't really know what they're doing. But it's just terrible. I mean, it's full of bugs that are almost comical at times, like the keeper trying to save shots when they've actually already gone past him. And some of the goals you can score are absolutely ridiculous. Some of the angles people are chipping them in for way outside the box, or lobbing from almost the halfway line, it curls in the corner as the keeper stands looking and then tries to save it. It's a ridiculously bad game to play. I played it and then I reviewed it and then I wanted to check because I'd been really quite negative. So I played it again the next day and yeah, it's just terrible. It's just really terrible. I mean, I don't really understand what they're doing with that franchise. It used to be, in the back of my memory, fairly decent Real Football. It used to be okay. I don't think it's ever been the best on iPhone, but it used to be one of the good ones, and now it's pretty much awful. So you can say, oh, well, that, you know, that's terrible. And then they've gone and slapped on all this freemium stuff. So if you're playing in a World Cup, rather than trying to get out of the group stage by winning matches that earns you points to get out the group stage, as you would in real life, you play matches to be awarded stars. So if you win a match well, you get 3 stars, and if you get enough stars, you get out of the group stage, which is pretty much the same. So you wonder why they've done that. Why didn't they just leave it as it was? But if that wasn't bad enough, you can then pay to get out of the group stage. So if you play one match and think, actually, I'm quite crap at this game, you can pay for credits, which then you can use to buy your way out. Yet you then still have to play the remaining 2 matches in the group stage, even though it's told you you're already through. So that is a bit weird. And the way it's set up is that, so you have the only thing you can do, actually, when you start up the game, is going to the World Cup, or their version of the World Cup. It's not an official World Cup, but it's the World Cup. You can't go into a Premier League match. You've got to go in the World Cup until you level up, until you've played a couple of matches, essentially won a couple of matches, and then you'll level up. And then it goes through the process of unlocking leagues and other competitions for you, which, you know, you think that's not really why people play football games. People play because they think, oh, I want to play a Premiership match. They don't want to have to go and play a World Cup, even for just a couple of matches, before they can then actually play the Premiership match they want to play. So it's kind of this freemium model that would work if it was a platform or if it was a puzzle game. They tried to force on a football game, and it just doesn't work. And then add to that the fact that the game itself is just awful, and you've got pretty much the worst football game on iPhone. So,
oof.
Yeah, that's pretty. I gave it a 4. It's pretty awful. Just awful, awful. On a better note, yes, today I've been playing, as I said earlier, I'm quite a fan of tower defense when I can manage them, because a lot of them are incredibly difficult, as is this one, really, Kingdom Rush from Armor Games, which people might remember. I quite liked one of their other games, which will remain nameless. But so it's a tower defense game, but it's quite a slow, ploddy one. The art style is all quite cartoony, and it's kind of set in medieval, mock kind of magical world. So you kind of place towers, as you might expect. Some of them throw bombs, some of them have got people throwing arrows, some of them have got magicians in, and some of them have got guards who actually stand on the physically track and fight. And as you might expect, you take down people as they come along, and it helps you upgrade all of your units, and then you can play up more towers. And but it's also got a nice little element that you can drop in extra units for a little periods. So if you're struggling in one area of the map, you can just drop in a couple of people to help for a few seconds, fight off, and you can also there's another, the other bonus is a firebomb you can drop down in one area. So it kind of, it's one of those tower defense games where even though it's quite slow, and in a way it's all very strategic in that you've got to make your mind up about where you want to place these towers, because even swapping them one, there's set places we can place them, obviously, and even swapping them around one place can really change how it plays out. You've also got to be on your toes. You can't just sit and watch it. You've got to be constantly upgrading, dropping people in and stuff. And it's just a really well presented game, and it's incredibly difficult, but because it's so much fun and the way it's presented is so much fun, you'd never want to stop playing too much. You're not actually bothered when you lose because it gives you another chance to play that level again, which is a sign to me, considering I'm quite rubbish at them, that it's rather good. So I'm still writing a review on that one, but it's probably my favorite game this year, probably, I would say.
Wow. I'll go next. I've been playing, or I am playing right now, in fact. This very second, I am actually playing it. Is Sonic CD.
Ooh.
I'm playing the Android version at the moment, though, on the Xbox.
Ooh.
Ooh. But, but I've also been playing the iPhone version as well, because I'm mad. So Sonic CD, as everyone knows, is the best Sonic game ever released. Better than Sonic 3, which, as we all know, is the worst Sonic game. The 3D one that was on the Dreamcast was really good. What was that? The one where you started off and you only had to press forward through the first world. What was that one?
Adventure.
That was superb. The sequel is even better. I didn't like the sequel. The first one was the best.
We're all terrible, Will. I'll tell you, this is a lesson for you. If Sonic starts speaking and he's got an American accent, you're playing a bad Sonic game. Turn off immediately.
I put on the American accent. I love it so much that if I have the sound off, I do the accent.
I can't stand Tails just giving you instructions the whole time. That's all he spends. Sonic Heroes, that's all he does. Talk about instructions the whole game. Press A and then press B and shut up.
So, yeah, no, I'm not being genuine with that praise for Sonic Adventures. Sonic Adventure. So Sonic CD. I know Keith doesn't really like it. I started playing it, and I was going to go into this podcast by saying I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good, but then I got up to the second world. I'm not quite liking it that much anymore. It's kind of a bit stupid. but I think the actual quality of the game is very good. Like the quality of the port is very good.
Yeah,
it's really quick. The controls are really nice, much nicer than Sonic 4's. But then again, it doesn't have that stupid momentum thing. I just didn't like the controls of Sonic 4. It runs so much smoother than Sonic 1. You'd think to yourself that you're running on a completely different piece of hardware. It looks nicer. It's a very nice port. But apparently it's because it's not made by the people that did the original ports. It's made by a guy, a coder, who did a fan version of the game originally.
Yeah, it's a random name that pops up, isn't there, at the beginning?
Yeah, and he actually did it because he wrote his own engine and everything. And Sega got him on board.
It's nice of them.
Yeah, it's nice of them. But then again, they probably couldn't, with their massive team, they probably couldn't have done a better port, which I think is kind of sad. But anyway, so the actual quality of the port's really good. And of course, the rarity of the game and that fact that it's one of the... I guess for Sonic fans, except for Keith, coming into this game is like finding... It's like going back to the golden age of your hero and find... Like, it's like watching a film by your favourite film actor and finding a film that you'd never seen theirs in its golden age and going, oh my God! And then sitting down and playing and going, oh my God, it's just like when he was good and not playing the cameos and the Expendables. And it's like, I'm not talking about Schwarzenegger. But it's like that. I can guess that for fans, which I'm guessing is why I get such great reviews. I'm actually sort of in agreement with Keith here. I think it gets very frustrating very quickly.
Yeah.
The level design is all over the place. The first levels are quite good. And then it sort of nosedives into Frustrationville. I never like the pinball sections on Sonic anyway, but they tend to be near the end of the game. They're quite brief, and there's quite a lot of tunnels. But on this one, it just goes, here's a big empty space of pinballs. Now you're going to be bounced around randomly for 2 minutes. until you finally get some control and then spring you back for like 10 seconds right over the top of the pinballs to do it all again, mother. And it's like, and I started going a bit crazy. I thought maybe I was doing something wrong, but actually, no, I just approached the pinball area again at the same angle and I went through it this time because I bounced the right way.
Sounds like a Sonic game.
It does sound like a Sonic game, but not a very good one.
I tell you, I'm in two minds about this. In that, in a way, if you're a massive fan of Sonic 2D era, and you've never played this, in a way, it's almost better never to play it, because in your mind, it will always seem special and like some holy grail. The screenshots, the color on Sonic CD always was, and as you say, it's a particularly good port. Looks amazing. Some of the richness of the actual
levels.
It just looks gorgeous. It just looks $1 million. But as you say, it's almost as if a lot of the fan versions that popped up on the PC like 5 or so years ago, when fans started making their own versions, and you'd always play it and you'd realize, oh, actually there was some talent in the original ones, because the level design here is all over the place. They've just kind of done what they wanted and kind of made it all haphazard and odd. That is Sonic CD, really. The level design is just really, it's unintuitive.
It feels like the person that designed the levels was so good at Sonic that he hasn't really given much space for anyone else. So yeah. You just sort of feel like, why am I being bounced back again? I mean, like, that's one of the annoying things. I mean, Sonic 1, I played through, but I don't think I ever completed it, but I played through most of it. I don't remember a single time where it actually actively bounces you back. Like, I know that you could take different routes, and there were tricky sections where you had to get on the platform at the right time, jump across at the right time, but it never forced you back past bits you've already done in the level just so you can do that bit again because you went too far to the right. It's so annoying. And also, it's got the time travel thing, but I can't activate it. I can't work out how you do it.
You run past a post, and if you keep running fast, the stars appear behind you, and if you run for long enough, you go back in time or forward.
There's always a drop, though.
Well, it's pointless anyway. It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. It just looks slightly different, and the music's different. It was just like them saying, "Oh, we're on a CD now, so we can actually do this." You think, well, yeah, but does it actually add anything? No, it doesn't. It just gets really bloody annoying because you're just getting used to one area, and even though the design of the level's exactly the same in each area, virtually, it just gets really bloody annoying. You think, "Oh, I'm going back in time again. Oh, I'm going forward in time again." It's, you know, but as you say, the actual, like, the technical thing of the port is amazing.
It runs
brilliantly.
It runs incredibly well. It runs better than it would run on a Mega CD or Sega CD.
Yeah.
So 60 frames a second. So there we are. It's a great port. I don't think it's that amazing as a game. Also, I would like to say that touchscreen controls are actually good on this game. Which is more than I can say for any of the previous Sonic games on iOS. They are really tight. And the controller doesn't take up half the screen. Which it just doesn't need to. I don't know why. Although when I first saw it, I thought, this is too small. I'm not going to be able to do this. But actually, it's really nicely programmed. It's very nicely done. Overall, a bit disappointed. Although now I've just completely broken the word from the website, which gave it 8 out of 10.
Oh, have we?
I'd have probably gone with a 7, to be fair.
I'd have gone with a 6. It's a 6. I suppose that's ignoring the fact that it's a nice port as an actual game.
It's not. It's not as good as Sonic 1, 2, or 3.
No, it's not.
Peter.
Hello.
You've been waiting very patiently.
Oh, I have. I really have to talk about...
Now unleash!
Yeah, wow. So, Mad Tracks is a game from Namco Bandai. It was originally created by Load Inc. It was definitely for 360, and I think it hit the Wii at one point as well. And now it's come to iPhone, and it's a freemium title. It's a racer in the vein of... I suppose like a Trackmania, except for with power-ups. So it requires you to be quite precise at times, in so much as getting the right lineup and the tracks themselves feel almost like roller coasters. You essentially play as like a a miniaturized vehicle. Like, it's completely unlicensed, but they're basically, here is a Beetle, here is a Mini. Yeah. It's, as I say, so it's freemium, and it works on MP, which is Mad Points.
Nice. Zany.
Oh, my word. And you get Mad Points after you complete each race. You get like different amounts for where you came in the pack. You always get points, but if you come first, you get a load more. If you come fourth, then you get less. And then, so that's all good.
It's not spelled Mad Tracks of an X.
No, no.
Well, that's not very mad, is it?
No, I know. It's awful. And it's not one word either. It's Mad Space Tracks.
Oh, God.
I don't know what they're, but if you think about it, the original developer, and I don't think the original developer handled this version, but the original developer is Load Inc. Loading.
No.
Loading.
Oh, they saved the wackiness for the name.
See what I mean? They're just so smart. and anyway, so yeah, like now, yeah. So Namco have taken it on, and I believe it's one of their Eastern European studios that have done the port. As I say, it is free, but that kind of works against it in some ways, in that. So you get these mad points for race victories, and you use them to unlock new tracks and new cars, and like, I'm all for that. Like, that's great. Like, I haven't paid anything.
Yeah, that sounds doesn't sound too bad.
That sounds fine, except for you're only given one track really at the start, and then the first track unlocks within about two races worth of points if you don't spend them on cars or upgrades or bonus packs or something like that. And then it gets longer and longer and longer, and the amount of points that you get for a victory in a race, you will have to unlock the last, I think it's the last four tracks, you have to complete one of the small handful of tracks you already have 20 times to unlock each subsequent track.
Ooh.
Like, and races are like 3 or 4 minutes long. So it becomes this massive grind where you're going along the same track, doing the same stuff. The AI is totally robotic. And unfair in a lot of ways as well. The inventory, the items that you pick up are completely pointless. You get practically no warning that somebody's firing anything at you, and to fire them, you have to kind of awkwardly bend your hand around the phone and kind of develop this cramp until you can hit the buttons in the right places. And the actual power-ups don't appear in the same place on the screen either. So what I ended up doing was I'm obviously looking at the horizon to see where I'm driving, and then I want to fire a rocket. And the first time I would do it, I kept thinking it would be in the same place, and I just boost off the side. Like, it's like, that's just very, very sloppy design. But the actual core racing itself is pretty good. Like, the controls feel really nice. It's there's three different control schemes, like tilt, a virtual joystick, and you can tap the screen as well, with like left, right, accelerate, brake. That's all good. My review, which will be going up really soon, basically at the end compares it to a cheese sandwich, in so much as like, it's a cheese sandwich made out of really great cheese, in that what they've actually got, when you're playing it, it is that it's good, but it's like uninspired. It's just that the more that you eat cheese sandwiches, the less you really want cheese sandwiches, if you know what I mean. Like you have to consume so many of them, and then by the end of it, you just think, well, I don't want cheese sandwiches anymore. So if you're willing to spend money, then like, and you know, on Mad Points, then maybe it gets better. But like, if you really want to be sort of very frugal about this, then it's a bit of a grind, really.
What about the mini games though? It's got mini games. I'm looking at it now. It's got mini games and challenges.
Yeah, you're right. So the staple is racing, and once in a while it'll throw little challenges in so much as, like, there's a ski jump mode where you have to, it's like closest to the pin, essentially. Like, you're driving down this ski ramp and then you have to get as close as you can to 100 points while other races are around you and doing exactly the same thing. That mode doesn't really work very well because the items that you pick up, they're also used in that mode. So people will just fire at you as you go off the ski ramp, meaning that basically the way you get around it, and here's a little tip for you, you just hold brake until everyone's gone and done their run, and then you go because you've got plenty of time. But if you go first, you will never, ever, ever hit the 100 point mark because the AI is just really, really good. And there's also like little arena based modes that kind of feel like Twisted Metal. Like they're kind of combat, but instead of destroying other vehicles, you have to pick up sweets. That's what I do. I know, it's insane. and there is quite a lot of variety in that way. And like some of them feel like, some of the races in fact feel like rallies, like they're one long continual loop. But there is quite a lot of variety. It's just that to get to that variety, you have to do the same thing over and over and over again. So when you unlock that next track, you think, oh, brilliant, something completely different to do. And that's great for the first two or three races. And then you realize you have to do 17 more to get to the next one.
Oh, dear.
It doesn't sound...
less mad, more damn.
Bad?
No, damn. Reverse of mad.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Oh, my word. This is why you earn the big bucks.
Too clever for me, Will. Oh.
Anyway, right. That's it. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for listening. This has been the Christmas edition, although we didn't really say much Christmassy stuff, did we?
Why don't you sing?
Give us a tune.
Are you sure?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm very sure.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Yes, thank you very much for listening this week, and we hope to see you around next week. I don't know what's going to happen next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Is that happening?
We're meant to be off, aren't we?
Yeah. Surely nothing's happening next week.
No, well, I'm working next week. You know what I'll do?
I'm working, but I won't have Skype, I'll tell you that.
Well, I don't want to know what you're working on.
My parents is what I mean. I'll be Skype less.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Well, headset less.
Just misunderstood. I will likely, you know what, I might actually combine all the back chats, put them into one podcast. Yeah. That'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be nice.
You'll listen to it, yeah.
I'll listen to it. So I'll probably do that for next week. It won't be original recording done in front of a live audience. It'll just be probably just old stuff. But after that, we're back fresh and new. I hope you all, well, I speak for all of us here. We hope you have a fantastic Christmas and a merry new year. Mix it up a bit. So I've been Will Wilson.
I've been Peter Willington.
Oh, don't
yes!
Do it.
That's
don't
two
do
of
it.
Us.
Don't
do it, Keith.
I'm never doing it. No,
Keith.
No.
Keith.
And
Keith, it's Christmas. And what do you want more than anything in the world this Christmas?
Well,
dangerous question to ask.
I would absolutely. The thing I would like the most, more than anything else, is for Keith to say, and I to be Andrew.
You've got issues, Will. You've got big issues. They all know who I've been, so yeah.
Such a cop out.
I've been me.
You've ruined Christmas.
Again.
You've ruined it.
He won't talk for me today's now.
Damn it. So never mind. I'll splice in recordings of Keith saying I've been.
How are you gonna do that? I'll be interested to hear that.
You've been interested to hear that? Well, there's I've been.
No.
I could just splice it now.
I don't think I've ever said podcast. You've said it, so you'd have to do an impression of me.
Oh, damn, that's a good point. Sorry, who are you again?
Depends on the day. Depends on the day. Depends on the day.
All right, that'll do. I'll use that. okay, so thank you very much. Have a good Christmas, and we will see you in the new year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.